this session goes until what, 2 in the morning?
No.
Something like
no,
that.
I promise.
No, he's only kidding.
Or mine. Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah.
He's only kidding. We're glad you're here this evening. I'm Joanne Harrington, and John, my husband, and David Apple is a visiting pastor from the Nashville area, and he's also with LifeWay, and we're really pleased to have him come and do several of these sessions this evening. And we want you to know that you're here by divine appointment. We've already prayed for you, and that God would bring in the people that are supposed to be here. So whatever he's got for you, lean in, because David's got some things for you that the Lord's given him. May I pray, and would you join me, please, in going before the throne? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each person that you have brought tonight, that you have a purpose and a plan for each of them. You have a message for each of them. Would you use your servant as he teaches, and would you open our hearts and our minds to receive your truth, Lord, so that we can go on and be the hands and feet of Christ. We thank you for that, and in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you so much, Joanne, and I very much welcome you all. I'm very grateful for name tags. I do that for my sake, but thank you so much. Thank you, Brantley. Part of what we're going to be doing for the next 45 minutes or so, we're really thinking about some things that will help us remember content in the Scripture. That's, I think, the design of the passage. Others are going to be coming in. We won't start from scratch, but we'll continue. One of the things that I have chosen to do, this is by design, every session I ever try to teach, if it's in a church or if it's a large group, always focus at least something from the Scriptures itself. So it's not just the devotional, it really is. Hi, Dee, good to see you all. And come and make yourself at home. I have chosen a passage from Joshua, very familiar, so there's nothing new to that. But I really would like for us to start thinking through not only that really brief passage, but some things that we could do to help remember in the story. Folks, welcome to you all. There's a sheet of paper on your chair. Really, there's two of them. One is a white sheet. We'll be using that the next little while. But the colored sheet of paper is a passage of Scripture. And let me just go ahead and ask you to glance at that. Instead of me telling you all that's in the passage, I'm just kind of curious. Let's take each of these one at a time. Those of you just coming in, we didn't give you a lot of time. These others have been in here since yesterday. No, that's really not true. It's a very short passage, but I really would like you to glance at the colored sheet for just a minute. You'll see that's really parallel to what's on the top, that white sheet. What are some things that will help us remember any passage of Scripture? I mean, if that's one you're going to be studying, if that's one you're going to be teaching, I think that's part we're going to be dealing with for the next 30 or 45 minutes. Is that fair to say? Have you ever read the passage from Joshua? Yeah, some of us, you just glance at the couple first verses and you say, oh, I know that story. So I'm not here to tell you what's in it, but did anyone have a chance to look at the first, I think it's Joshua chapter 3. Did anyone have the verses 1 to 5? Okay, Josh, I'm going to put you on the spot. Don't read it to us necessarily. That's not our objective, although we can read that later on. What's one thing that's going on in that short passage? Verses 1 through 5.
They're crossing the Jordan?
Yeah.
Joshua and the Israelites are crossing the Jordan?
Okay, now that's exactly right. They're really getting ready to take the land of promise. So you've heard the story. A lot of different things in that very brief passage that can help us remember the story or to help tell somebody else. But there is something I'd like for you just to kind of remember. And I'm going to ask you to write this down on any sheet of paper. One of the things that to me, Josh, stands out in that brief passage was where the Lord says, I want you to sanctify yourself. Now, is that in the passage, or am I making that up, Josh?
That's the last verse, yeah.
Anyone else? Help me. When you see that phrase there, sanctify yourself, what does that mean to you? Anyone? That's a churchy word.
Be holy.
Yeah.
Separate yourself.
Get ready. It really was the idea of cleansing. It really was the idea of do whatever God commands so that you're ready to take the land. It's a fascinating idea. There are some things that anytime you look at the Scripture, I think it's going to help us if you're teaching it or if you're learning it as a member. Some things that will help you remember the story. For my sake, I'm going to ask you to write this word down. Get ready. You write that anywhere you want to. Now, for the sake of time, those of you just coming in, you really have two sheets of paper. One is the white. We'll all be using that for the next 30, 45 minutes. The second one was a colored sheet of paper. You may have even had a chance to read it. Some of these are long, as with this one. This was chapter 3, but it was also verse 6 to 13. Did anyone have a chance to glance at that? I know some of you have it in front of you. Dee Dee, glad to see you, my friend, and welcome. Anybody have a chance or remember that passage from in this room or somewhere else? Anybody know what's going on in that short story? I'm not putting Dee Dee on the spot because we just walked in.
Thank you.
I understand. Here's the story. I'll let you look at it at your convenience. That will be part of your homework. Is that good?
Okay.
Say yes. I don't take up homework. When you read this passage from Joshua chapter 3, you'll remember that one of the neat things that happened, Lonnie, is that God had been preparing his people, sent them from Egypt. You know all that kind of stuff. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan. Part of the instructions that God gave his people was, when you cross the Jordan, you're going to have to take me on my word. You're going to have to trust me by faith. So when you put your feet in the water is going to part. It's not going to part until you do that. That's just a fascinating thing. Does that make sense to you? Part of what we have to remember, anytime any passage of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, you have to remember God is asking us to obey him by faith. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if you're still here.
You're here.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What I'm going to ask you to do is write on any sheet of paper. It may be the colored one. It may be the white sheet of paper. I want you to write down the phrase, obey by faith. Maybe that would be as a reminder for us, but I do want us to think for the next little while, there's some things, no matter what passage of Scripture, I want you to keep that in mind. That's a principle. Is that all right? No matter what the story is. Now, there's a third passage. We're doing this rather quickly, but I think it'll give us an idea, no matter what the passage is. Did anyone have a chance to look at the chapter 4, verses 1 to 9? Now, everyone's got a different color sheet, but yours is what, green?
Yeah.
Some others have the green sheet, so that's really what that passage is. Brandon, I'm going to put you on the spot. That was a long passage. Mm-hmm. What's one or two things that you saw in there that may help you remember what was going on? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but that's one for all of us.
Yeah, so the Jordan River and the 12 stones. So if you're teaching, if you could draw the Jordan or show a picture of the Jordan and also bring a stone into the class, it might help.
The passage really is, as you're crossing the Jordan, the instructions were from God, as you're going across, pick up a stone. That will always remind you of what happened to you. It is your rock. It is a memorial stone. Does that make sense? So one of the things, and Brandy's already said it, anytime you're studying Scripture, anytime you're teaching, it really does help us to collect some memory stones of some kind that'll help you remember whatever the passage is. It doesn't have to be necessarily a rock or a stone, but something that will help you remember. I'm going to ask you to write this phrase down. Collect memory stones. Francis, that's not just about a Joshua passage, but frankly, as a teacher of God's Word, you're always doing things, Lonnie, to help you try to remember what is it that I'm trying to study, what is it that I'm passing that on. So sometimes a memory, not just a rock, a memory may be something to help you remember. Now, there's one other part of this passage. If you're looking at the white sheet of paper, it's Joshua chapter 4. But it's what, verses 17 through
24.
Really pretty much the end of the chapter. Now, I'm glancing upside down. What Francis, Lonnie, others may have been looking at that. Take a minute, just help
dry
me figure
land.
Out what's going on.
You said they're crossing, they're coming out. The children of Israel, dry land, dry water. Know the hand of the Lord got you across. And it's the 12 tribes that are participating in that activity.
To me, it's a little bit more abstract than some of the other parts of that same passage. A little bit easier to talk about collecting a stone or a rock. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to think about, well, here's the step you need to take.
It's the result of their faith.
Okay, result? Other words or phrases, Francis, I know we're putting you on the spot, but something that may help you remember that passage?
No, actually, I can't think of anything right off.
There are results. There are some things. Okay, so without trying to take all of our time tonight just to look at a passage of Scripture, Marion, anytime you teach God's Word, you're looking for some things that are going to help you remember the Scripture. Maybe that's what we're here for, just for the next 30, 45 minutes. It's not so much me telling you. I'm assuming, Larry, all of us are teaching. Ah, thank you. Then I was making an assumption. What brought you to this session tonight? I mean, I like the session title. Did somebody pay you to come? Josh, help me.
In my learning, if I can remember certain things a preacher taught on 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, because they had something that was very memorable about, whether it's a story or it's a visual illustration. And so when I teach, I just don't want it to go in one ear and out the other. I want the singles in my class to capture it, remember it, and hopefully that will help them meditate it on through the week, because they'll remember it. And so that's
pretty good title for a session, I think.
So that's what brought me here.
Okay, we got to learn from each other. I appreciate this. Lonnie, don't necessarily go around the room every person, but what are you thinking about?
I'm an application teacher, so I want them to learn what's being taught and apply it to their lives. So you got to remember it. It's got to excite you. You got to relate to it. So you got to find a way for them to tag it and be able to take it later with their life.
Now remember what was said in the worship center. It is not just we're teaching facts. We really are teaching people. So this is not a new sermon. This really is. This is the reason we're doing it. So you're not a teacher. What brought you in here?
Well, I thought second, third graders, so I'm not sure they have that. But I don't do that anymore. And so,
those are the hardest.
Yeah. Although you have the wall
teach us, brother.
Yeah. But basically, I would like to find ways to remember Scripture.
Okay. Dee Dee, glad to see you, my friend. Part of my reason for asking, I don't want to put you on the spot, but there's an intense reason for what we're trying to do here. And part of it is some of us are teaching a Bible study session. But every one of us are believers who really make an impact on other people's lives. And most of that is not even in a classroom setting. The white sheet of paper, I did that intentionally. Part of this, as you already have seen, I'm asking you to do homework sometime in the next, actually let's say next month. I won't see you, Josh, okay? At your convenience, I want you to read back through Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. You don't have to take notes. It's not like you're going to try to find something that you've never seen before. Most of us have read this sometime or another. But as you see it, I think it's a fascinating thing, because it's almost like a parallel for anything at any time in our lives. That's your assignment. As you're glancing through that, however long or short you take, I want you to find things, even in that passage, and say, that will help me remember that passage or that story or that verse. On your white sheet of paper, about halfway down, you'll see here are some principles to help you remember. I'm going to use the screen here for just a minute, and I don't think there's going to be anything rocket science, but maybe we can just write some stuff down. And that may give us an opportunity to talk, if that's all right with you. I don't want to feel like you just have to listen to me. Here's four things, and let's just write down as you see here. This is a standing principle. Whatever the passage is, Larry, if you're studying this on your own, sometimes it helps to remember that you're starting with the truth of that scripture or with the application, rather than let's come up with an object. Let's just do a Bible study around the object. Or let's find something, a picture, and then come up with a Bible study that will support that. That is actually a dangerous thing to do. So you start with the text, whatever that passage may be. And Lonnie, I think it helps us to remember also, as you said, sometimes it helps very much to look at what's the application. What is God actually leading us to do? That's what I need to look for in the passage. Does that make sense? Do you mind brainstorming with me for just a minute? If it's just on that Joshua passage, if it's a verse, matter of fact, all of you get your colored sheet of paper out. I'm not going to put you in groups. I'm not going to ask you to stand and share. But any verse from within that sheet that you've just glanced at, from your perspective, what's an application for you if all you knew about the scripture was based on what you're looking at right here? What's something that you need to be doing personally? You think about it for just a minute. Because some of us has longer passages than others.
Well, the very first verse is what we just talked about down in the auditorium. Lord, I wake up this morning and I talk to you. And Joshua said, get up in the morning, not wait till noon or the afternoon. And get up, and what do? We talk to him. And get up and do what I've told you to do.
Okay. Application. And so without me trying to say, now here's a long list, here's the things you can be doing, you focus on the application. Now what are some things that can help you remember that? Now let's just brainstorm for a minute. I love what you just said. What would be some things for us to help remember what he just said, which came from the scripture? Think about an alarm clock. There's no wrong answer. I'm not trying to say you got to come up with what I'm thinking. That's not fair.
Go to sleep earlier.
Go to sleep earlier. Don't stay up for midnight madness.
All right.
All right. That's starting tomorrow. So part of what we have the opportunity to do, we're not just making things up, but you look at the passage. You focus on the application. Now, what are some things to help you do that? Now, as a teacher, you don't necessarily have to bring that alarm clock in or that calendar in, but now you're helping. That's helping you remember. Does that make sense?
Give him the whole day. Start early.
Okay.
Give the Lord the whole day from start to finish.
Okay. All we did was look at the application or look at this principle here. Now that was what sheet of paper was that? That was the last
mine?
Mine was on the pink salmon.
Okay. I'm glad I don't know what colors
Joshua
these are.
Joshua 3.
Someone else. Now we're not trying to say, oh, that was a better one than mine. Let me give you, we're going to take about 2.5 more minutes. Whatever passage you're looking at, did you see anything that would speak to you personally?
I had the same one you had, the long one, at the end, Joshua 4:17-24, and it talks about what they did with the rocks once they got to the other side, and to me it talked about the holiness of God and setting up a remembrance of all that he had done for them, and so that they could teach their children could teach their children.
Excuse me, that's a neat truth, not just found in Joshua chapter 4. You find that all over the scripture,
yes.
Old Testament and New Testament. What are some things that could help you remember what she just said?
I think real life applications, just something, what are my stones? What are the things that I remember? And the challenge for the class would be, are you prepared to tell your story?
Sometimes it is a fact, sometimes it is a story. See, notice she said, when you tell your story, it's very personal. It's not like your story has to be mine or mine has to be yours. That's a remarkable permission that we're giving each other. Now it's not only unique, but it really is flavored with the scripture. Fascinating how that works. Let's do this one more time. Anyone, whatever passage you were looking at, and it may be the same one that some of us have already talked about.
Mine's a trust factor. It said, step in the water and you cannot dry. So God says, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what you think, trust me, follow, and I'll see you through.
Okay, I'm going to ask the same question I've asked just a minute ago. It's about what I just heard, or what you just heard from Lonnie. What are some things that might help you remember what you just heard your brother say? Knowing that came straight out of a scripture, but that is very much an application. You can think about any passage. I'm asking you.
Just pick any example in your life where God was faithful. I mean, whether it's a decision about a job or what you're going to do with your kids and you don't know what to do, so you pray and he says go, and you say, okay, I trust him, and he's faithful.
Okay. The opposite could be just as true. When we learn from, I don't want to say mistakes, but we learn from the times when God was saying to trust me and we chose not to take out the step. Sometimes it takes us weeks or months or years to look back and to say, but God was just asking me to be to trust in Him. So guys, this is not so much an overly spiritual kind of a thing to do. It really, as you're looking personally at the scripture, sometimes it's you see a truth or you see an application that's very much for you. You're not trying to make it for everybody else necessarily, but it's just trying to help you remember that. I find that interesting. That's just one principle, though. If you want to write down some other things, we've actually said this, so let's just go and write it down if you'd like. You have the permission, Dee Dee. This is nothing new. You have the permission. Any passage of scripture that you're looking at, you're looking for things that will help you remember the truth. Larry, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be teaching or I'm teaching kids or I'm doing another in a class or a group setting, but it's something to help me remember it. And it's the same things you and I were just talking about. And then I'm going to go ahead and give the next principle, which is almost the very same thing in a whole different perspective. Sometimes, Brandy, you do look for some things intentionally that will help you help them remember it. Now, that's one thing, Lonnie, to say, okay, I'm teaching a group on Sunday morning. I've got 12 people in the group. I'm trying to help them remember this truth or this verse or this statement. Sometimes I need a visual. Sometimes I need a picture. Sometimes I need an object. Sometimes I need a word. Sometimes I need a story. Where do you come up with those? I'm asking you, because I'm a teacher as well. I'm trying. It's always, where do you get those things? I've got some suggestions, but I'm kind of curious. Where do you get those ideas?
Well, the best stories are what's happened in your own life, and they're more when you start sharing an example where you failed or where you succeeded. It's real life, and they're gonna latch onto it, so you can apply it.
Notice the power of the story, but it doesn't have to just be your story. Sometimes that's very awkward, and sometimes it doesn't. This is hard to say, but sometimes it doesn't have to be their story. The people in their room, in your room, sometimes people are very threatened to say, "Oh, you're going to tell that part of my story, or you want me to tell that part of the story." But for them to know that their story is very valid to help them remember part of that journey is very liberating. Where do you get other examples of story? Maybe I'm leading you on.
News?
Okay. I mean, that's not only obvious, that becomes very pertinent. Some are easier than others to even tell. They don't even have to be current news. But that does give us permission. Dee, what you thinking, dear?
Well, I was just thinking maybe some of the advantages of being old as dirt, like we are, is that I have seen God working in so many lives. And constantly when I'm talking to someone to try to illustrate a truth to them, I've got an illustration of someone that I knew or how God worked in their life or how they touched my life. And I think part of it is you've got to really discipline yourself when you're actually in the moment to remember what's happening right that minute, because you're going to be able to use it again later.
Oh, I love that. You're helping me to think. I'm not a good journaler or journaling person. I have been at times, but sometimes just to kind of remember, some people are much better than others.
I journal every day. Someone started me on it. I think Elizabeth Elliot, and then Jim Elliot, and then then about 20 years ago, someone said to me, and this is really ridiculous, Cheryl, but I can't write well enough to read my own writing. And I said, well, if I could just do it on my computer, because I can type faster than I can write. And they looked at me and they said, why can't you? And I thought, why can't I? So I started doing that, and every day when I have my quiet time, I read what I wrote a year ago. Mm. And it is phenomenal, because you are reminded of how someone worked in your life and how something changed in your life. You're reminded about obstacles that you thought were just impossible, and you, in a year, you have seen how God has just worked it out in an amazing way. Or you see things in your life that you were ready to throw in the towel because it looked just impossible, and in a year's chance of thinking over it, you realize that was so insignificant, and you've allowed yourself to get so overwhelmed by something that was just really insignificant. But that has helped me so much, because I can reflect back on how I saw God working in the lives of the people that I'm involved with. And many times when we were dealing with one another, I didn't have an answer for them. I could just only pray for them, because I really didn't have an answer. But I saw how God brought an answer, maybe with nothing of me involved in it. But just to be able to look back and see that, very helpful.
You know, to build on that, our church is doing a devotional called The Daily Light. And my wife and I have been doing that devotional now for 6 or 7, 8 years. So for every year we go through it. So as you're reading and you've taken notes from the prior years, you're going, oh, that's when I lost my mom.
Yes, exactly.
Or that's when.
Or when someone else lost their mom.
I was going to Cambodia for a mission trip. Yeah. Right. I was doing, and so it brings it back the same way. So it's a form of journaling.
The memory is a remarkable thing. It works almost positive or for you or sometimes against you. And I don't mean it's always just those high water marks in your life. It's always the mountaintop experience. Sometimes it's that tragedy that not so much that I remember, but that it kind of triggers for other people. Those are markers. Okay, we're telling each other what we already know. And I think that's fascinating. You're given permission, not that you have to be the expert. You don't have to come up with all the stories. You don't have to come up with all the illustrations. You don't have to come up with all the object lessons. But sometimes you set the stage where that becomes, they're thinking in their own way. I get bogged down a lot of times in the Bible study group I teach. I pastor a church, and so I'm really trying to think, how do you get people even engaged with that large group and small group? If they're depending on me for the memory tools, then I'm not going to be able to help them. But if I can get them to start thinking for themselves, then that takes a lot of the pressure off. It's no longer the fact that I have to get everybody to start talking. Okay, now tell me your story, or tell me what you're thinking. But it gives an atmosphere so that, frankly, when they leave, they're able to talk to somebody else, or they're able to walk on that journey themselves. Does that make any sense, Joanne?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay, so now I have to change even my attitude of how all this comes about. We're just writing some principles, and not we're going to come up with a long list. But I am going to ask you before we go to, there's one more that I have on my sheet that we're going to look at just for a minute. At least write these things down. You're not going to see them on the screen. At least write down stories. I think that is extremely helpful. That's going to be something that will help you remember, that will help participants remember. Write down pictures. I mean, that could be a million different things. I don't mean just internet-driven or something that you find in a teaching picture, but the visual of it is remarkable. Write down object lessons. Or objects. Boy, that goes a million illustrations, a million miles. And I'm going to ask you in just a minute, give me some examples of some objects that you have either used or seen someone else use. We'll just brainstorm that for a minute. And then one that I'm going to ask you to write down for my sake is acrostics.
Say it again.
Acrostics. Like a word. Taking a word, we'll use that in just a minute. Words or phrases that start with each of those letters. I have a mild learning disability. I'm not stupid, but all my life I've struggled with reading, I've struggled with words, I've struggled with communicating. Strange enough, that's what I do now for a living. I mean, it's almost a joke. But when I was in college, it seemed like a long time ago, one of my professors knew I was struggling, not only with reading, but with all the other kind of stuff, and the professor said, you're not exempt from all the reading. You have to do it. You have to write the papers. But here's something that may be helpful for you. You think of one word in all that lecture, in all that book, one word that will help you remember the big picture. You come up with a word, or I'll tell you the word. That's up to you. But you think of one word for every session. And then you look for words or phrases that start with the letters in that word that will help you start kind of piecing things together. It may be very abstract. It may be. Somehow I learned that. I won't tell you how long I was in college. But I remember that. Please, thank you very much. That's a whole journey in itself. But I still use that. Not that I use it to teach, but a lot of times I use that just to help me remember. It's a conceptual kind of thing. And it's taken me off the hook a lot of times. We'll actually use that in just a minute for my sake. So I said object lessons, right? I said acrostics, I said pictures, I said stories or illustrations. Can you think of some other things? We may have already said some of these, but I want to get a list for myself before we leave here tonight.
What helps me remember what I read in my daily readings is talking to my wife about it. or talking to my small group about it, or friends, sharing what I read. And so reading it, it kind of, you don't, it's easier to remember it if you're able to share what you read with somebody else.
There's a biblical principle behind it. Yeah. Now, let me affirm something I'm hearing my brother say. For those of us who are teachers, or those of us who are believers in whatever the context, Timothy basically says, now the things that you've learned, you pass on to somebody else. And the principle is this: once you pass that on to somebody else, it's ingrained more into you. Okay. That doesn't make you the expert. It just has kind of somehow connected better with you. That's why the teacher, I'm going to speak to all of us, the person who gets more out of the session is the teacher. And you know why, don't you? Because you've done this more study, and maybe you've done more reading. Now you've started putting that into words for somebody else so that they could learn it. But actually what that does is help you. We just said principles. Maybe this is just too simple. But as a Bible study leader, I need to remember, I don't want to get caught up in the same things that I'm always comfortable with. Now that's threatening to me, my friends, because I like the way I do it. I like the way I study. I mean, not that I'm doing it right or wrong, I always tend to start a session about the same way. Always try to end, it's not that we're doing it right or wrong, but something, I need to have some variety for my sake. Does that make sense? So you wrote some stuff down. Oh, there was one part of the passage I did not write it down, and let's just, for my sake. That last one, Francis, is that what you were, the last part, yeah. I'm going to take that just for a second because I didn't write anything up here. There's one part of that passage, Francis, the last couple of verses in Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to borrow your sheet.
Sure.
I can't remember everything. Here's what it says. Look at verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord. I mean, I'm not making this up. It's just I never thought of this. So all may know. So it's not so much, Randy, so that you'll know it, so you'll learn it. But frankly, you do need to learn it so that you can pass it on to somebody else. That always helps, doesn't it, Josh? So we're not just discussing, we're not just talking, but really as you're guiding somebody. Okay, we've already said that. The whole purpose in all of this is so that other people will know. Raise your hand if you're still here. Yeah. That's the reason we're doing all this stuff. There is an acrostic on the board that intentionally or unintentionally, I was trying to remember all the stuff in here. Now you've seen it. All we did for the last 30 minutes, look at a Bible passage you've read 1,000 times before. I wasn't trying to come up with anything new, but I think you'll remember this passage because it says you got to get ready. You got to get sanctified. There's some things you got to do. Make sense? Mm-hmm. This passage literally says there's some things you have to do. You have to obey by faith. You got to remember God's saying to do something before it happens. You got to believe Him. You got to remember this passage, all no matter Old Testament or New Testament. And he says, all along the way, he's saying, keep those memory stones, whatever you want to call it, that'll help you remember. But also, it's designed so that other people remember their journey or your journey. And then you do this so that all may know the hand of the Lord. I don't have an offering plate. I need some help. Can I use as a volunteer?
Sure.
I'm just going to let you take this around. I want every person to get 3 rocks. And so either to hand them to them or let them collect. And since she's volunteering, we got a special thing for her in just a minute. So volunteer, the next volunteer, we'll talk about that in a minute. I'll get one as well.
These came from a local craft store. You can get them anywhere. These are kind of nice, but I want you to get three of them. And John and Joanne will get you some as well. So I'll wait just a second. How many are you supposed to have? Three. Thank you. There's a reason for three. Yeah, pick whatever you want. You can make jewelry out of these if you like. There's nothing magic to this, but I want you to keep any one of those. You choose which one. I want you to keep any one that's a memento or reminder of this session tonight. This little rock or this little stone that you will take. Thank you, Francis. I don't care where you keep it. You don't have to keep it prominent, but frankly, I want you to have a reminder because this should help you remember a lot of different things by your being in here tonight. Okay. You have another one. I'll let you decide which one you want to use for this one. Before you leave tonight, I want you to give that second rock to anyone on campus other than someone in this room. And I want you to be able to tell them in a matter of 10 or 15 seconds something that you remember by being here tonight. Now, that could be in this session, that could be at Midnight Madness. It doesn't have to be in this room. I want you to pass on a stone to say, let me tell you what I learned at Midnight Madness. This is for you. Hold on to it. You'll remember. There's a third rock. Am I right? Mm-hmm. I want you to be prepared to give this at any time to anyone who is not here at Midnight Madness. Preferably, it could be a neighbor. It could be anyone, somebody you work with, casual, somebody you know well. They don't go to church. That's up to you. But you don't have to tell your whole story. You don't have to tell the... you don't even tell them about Midnight Madness, but she says, I want you to have this, and here's the reason I want you to have it. I'll leave that up to you. Does it make sense? Is that fair? I got plenty more rocks if you want to get more out. So let's just practice for a minute. What's one thing you feel like you have learned or relearned or have the reason for your being here tonight thus far? That includes dinner, that includes hearing Pastor Greg, that means even the last 45 minutes. I'm putting you on the spot. What's one thing that you have learned or relearned by being here thus far tonight?
Be courageous to take the next step or whatever
God wants me to do. Remember the next steps. That's very powerful, that's very personal. Thank you, Francis. Josh, what are you thinking?
Great stories always require great courage.
Okay. Say it again. Great stories
always require great courage.
If that's all you remember from your experience tonight, that's powerful. I want you to remember this. Let's go around the room.
Acrostics help you remember the story.
And that's not necessarily something you have to share, but it may be something to help you remember. Okay, and I don't mean to force that. That I really don't. I'm not trying to say, come up with a word. But for me, that has been sometimes a lifesaver. Oh, there's an acrostic lifesaver. No. Someone else. What are you going to remember? Larry?
Possibilities before you take this next step. Okay,
I want you to remember, I literally could go around the room, but this becomes important because you're literally practicing anything you learn, anything you remember, you're doing it for your sake. This is something I remember. I'm going to hold on to this. Some of us write it down. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you associate it with something else, becomes that much more important because, Dee Dee, the reason you're here is for your sake. God brought you here, even tonight, to remind you of some stuff you've already known. But it's like, that's the one thing I'm going to take from here. Pretty good? John?
Prepare an aha moment in your teaching for the student to complete. For us, it was the rock.
Okay, say it again. Prepare an aha moment. What do you mean by that, brother?
Well, we didn't know you were going to have the acrostic rock.
Yeah, I almost forgot.
Some of us saw it when you invited us. And so that anchored it in us when we completed it. You gave us an aha moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And sometimes that's in a conversation. That's not just in a classroom. That's an interesting observation. Didi, what you thinking, dear?
I was just thinking our memories are wonderful, but they're not just wonderful for our own enjoyment, but they're tools that God is giving to us to use.
For your sake and for the sake of others. How well put. Thank you.
I find that he brings things back to you. I'll study my lesson, and I'll have my outline, and I'll have everything down I'm going to go through, and the points I want to remember, and the things I want to get out of this lesson, the application, and all this good stuff. And right in the middle of this, bingo, something comes into my mind.
That's not even on your sheet.
Not on my sheet. Hadn't thought about it all week. Hadn't done anything with it. But God opens up a personal illustration from memory that illustrates the point. And so we can apply it.
I read a statement several years ago. It kind of pierced me. I'm an educator. Part of my job is to help train people. And sometimes you kind of get overloaded on stuff. And most of the time, people have already heard most of the stuff you're going to tell them. Okay? Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay. I don't mean about Bible truth. I'm just saying generally. Here's the statement that was made, and I need to remember it personally. It said, the more prepared you are, the more flexible you can become.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have the freedom?
Point well made, my brother. Mm-hmm. So now I'm not so much trying to say, here's a story I've got to say. Here's an acrostic I've got to use. Here's an object I've got to throw in. Here's a visual I've got to put in there. That's actually helped me to remember it. Or that's helped me to kind of sequence kind of stuff. And then I began to realize because people are talking or because of the stories, because of stuff's going on, I'm almost thrown because of what I have on my sheet, my preparation. Mm-hmm. Boy, this is going different than what I planned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get back to my lesson. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit does prompt us or prompts them. Okay, so we're saying the same thing. You have three rocks. I'm not going to rehearse all three of them, but I think it is important. You remember at least something. That becomes important for you. You be prepared to share something with someone else who's also been here. That becomes extremely important, and that is part of your assignment. It will be other than in this room. And then without me asking you to record now, I want you to think through what will you tell somebody else. You got a third rock. You're going to give that to them sometime. Christian or non-Christian. It's not a churchy thing. I want you to be prepared to say, I've got something for you, and I want you to remember because I'm giving you. That's not rehearsed at this moment, so don't hear me trying to say, Francis, here's your script, but it becomes important because now, somehow, that's what we get to do. Had a conversation with a guy. Now I meet with him about every week, and it's just one of those neat things for me. I wish I could have brought him because he's probably one of the most dynamic Christians I have ever personally met. I won't go into all the details. He came to know the Lord 5-6 years ago. I was not part of that, but he's an avid Bible student. I mean, he can't get enough. He's always talking about the Lord. He's talking about what God does for him. He's just one of those kind of conversation, on and on. And he's extremely genuine about it. I was talking with, his name is Kevin. Talking to Kevin, now been a couple of months ago, and we were literally this close. I mean, we almost had nose to nose. We were talking, he's very passionate. He starts jumping up and down, which is not my culture. But he starts jumping up and down, and he says these words to me. David, the Lord told me, well, I don't mean that threw me off, but that was like, that's not my culture either. I've never heard the word, but I kept on hearing it. Here's what he said. The Lord told me I get to be a missionary. Well, that was really cool for me to hear that. But let me tell you part of the story I didn't tell you. Kevin is serving 2 life sentences. He's also serving a death sentence. Kevin's on death row. One of my jobs is I work for the Tennessee Department of Corrections. It's a volunteer kind of thing, but I work in a maximum security prison. Don't put me on a pedestal. I'm trying to figure out what all this means. It's been going on for years. I'm not a chaplain, but they've given me the right to just have conversation with these guys, and sometimes it's some of the strangest conversations I've ever heard in my life. Kevin knows I'm a man of faith, and that's opened up a lot of doors. So Kevin, in one of our conversations, at his cell, tells me exactly what I told you. Now, here's part of the story that still stumps me. I didn't say a word to him at that point. I mean, he is extremely passionate about what he told me. The Lord told me I get to be a missionary. And in my mind, I'm thinking, Kevin, you just don't get it. You'll never get out of here. I'm not saying those words, but that's literally what I'm thinking, okay? I don't think he can read minds, but he stopped in mid-sentence. He pointed his finger at me, which is daunting anyway. And he said, David, no, you don't understand. And it's at that point, Kevin starts pointing. I knew what he was doing because we were at his cell. We could look down about 50 different cells, all on death row in that part of the building. And he's pointing to the other guys in the other cells. And he basically says, you don't understand. I'm the only person who gets to pray for every one of these guys every day. I'm a missionary. What do you say to somebody? I didn't have anything to say. So here was the next thing that came out of my mouth, and I know it was not me speaking. I know it was the Holy Spirit because I didn't know what to say. Here's what I said to Kevin. All right, from now on, I'm going to treat you like a missionary. Kevin, I'm going to start praying for you like I've never prayed before. When we have conversation, it's knowing that you do pray for these guys. It's not that we're going to just do Bible study. It's not so much a churchy kind of thing. I began to realize all of a sudden, excuse my acrostic, you're talking about the rock in the rock. Okay, excuse me, don't take that any further. But it helped me to remember that we get to do that kind of stuff everywhere we go. And it's not a preaching, it's not a teaching, it's just we're raising up missionaries. I never thought about that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on for just a second. Take your rock, and now when you look at the whatever rock you're looking at, the one you're going to keep or the one you're going to pass on here, somebody at this church or somebody you're going to share with somebody else, I want you to look at the rock now in two specific ways. That rock now represents Jesus himself. The image, the rock, okay? If you don't mind, and think about whatever that means to you. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I also now want you to think about if it's from the movie, The Rock, if it's from however you imagine a prison, whatever you want to think about that. When you think about the rock you hold on to, I want you to think about people who cannot come to your Bible study for whatever reason. I'm not really sure why I just gave that illustration. But you're going to hold on to at least one of those rocks. And I have an idea, my brothers and my sisters, that you already knew all this stuff, that this is not new. And it's not just one of those ideas. But we, my friends, got to remember all this. Now, I don't have any more notes to share on the PowerPoint, so we're talking about just stuff for the next 5 minutes. Is that all right to say? What comes to your mind when you heard me share that short illustration that is as true as me standing up here breathing? Don't talk about Kevin. Talk about people you know. And I don't mean in prison. I'm just talking about missionaries that God has asked you to raise up. Talk to me, Joanne. Real loud, my friend.
The thing that I remember most when talking with other brothers and sisters in Christ is when I'm talking with someone who is so enthusiastic about Christ, about Jesus, their faith and their enthusiasm, their joy, like Kevin is to you, like, you know, they have been to me, that joy and that enthusiasm really is contagious, and it does something for me that it changes the way I see the Lord. And then what it says to me is, you know, how enthusiastic are you about your faith? How enthusiastic and how do you communicate that same kind of joy and excitement about what he's done for you that they are communicating to me? And it has really moved me and changed my life when I come across those few people, and it is few.
But that's part of your story and you're sticking with it. Ask the question, I'm not even sure how to re-ask it because there's no wrong answer. There's no, like, okay, she said it, now we're going to move on. What do you think of when now you're thinking about the story I just shared, knowing that you are raising up mission? I really would like to hear you talk for just a couple of minutes because this is where it kind of changes me.
You know, that you're talking about sharing Christ. I mean, the first thing that came in my mind was, well, actually, he's the definition of a missionary is reaching an unreached people group. I mean, it's somebody in prison that we really don't have access to. As I heard y'all talking about the sharing enthusiasm, for the last 10 years, I've gone to Cambodia, Vietnam, and we've shared, and literally when I go there, I get in front of these people and I share, and literally the group, I mean, it's not unusual for us to have hundreds come to know Christ. Mm-hmm. And then I come back here and I don't have the same enthusiasm. Not that I don't have the same enthusiasm of Christ, but I don't, there it's a sellout. It's a total sellout. I'm there to talk Jesus. You come back here, then you get back in the groove of working and family and stuff. And as I'm sitting there going, wow, you know, that's a, it's the same God, same Lord that's in Cambodia as is in the U.S., and yet that enthusiasm of sharing the rock, you know, we are missionaries where we are, whether it's in Cambodia, whether we're in my workplace, or whether in my family. So it's a little eye-opener.
And I will restate the obvious, and you're raising up missionaries.
I don't have time to share the story, but a phrase that the Holy Spirit has given me he gave it to me once about 5 years ago, and since then he's used this one phrase to prompt me into that next step of obedience. And the phrase that he's told me, if not me, who? And if it's not me, who? And the story in like 30 seconds is basically, there was a visitor in our class, Life Bible Study class, who was Spanish speaking. And I grew up in Mexico as a missionary kid, and none of the leadership spoke Spanish. And there's a lot of people in class, and a part of me didn't want to reach out to him. But the Lord said, if not you, who? So long story short, he and I met for an evangelistic Bible study. He came to know the Lord. He got baptized 1 week before he had to go back to his home country of Argentina. Now he's going on for the Lord. But if I wouldn't have heard the Lord's voice, not you who, that wouldn't have happened. And so over and over again, the Lord gives me that word.
I'll never forget the story because I'm holding on to my rock. If not me.
So you went into a physical prison, but we walk around among people who are imprisoned spiritually. And I think when you told your story about coming back here, I think there are a lot of people locked up in their own personal pain. And so now I'll remember this rock, the one rock can break in to those private prisons. So that's one thing I'm going to remember. Mm-hmm. And all it takes is reaching out, if, you know, if not me, who, to break it open.
The Holy Spirit is working in whatever group. If it's a group of two people, if it's a group of 20, I mean, I'm not telling you anything more than what you know. Mm-hmm. The more prepared you are, the more flexible you can be. It's not like you're telling the stories. You're setting the stage where God is already at work in people's lives. It's not like everybody's going to say, now let me tell you my story. But all of a sudden, God's working through you to create an atmosphere where people are being prompted, maybe that's our word, prompted by their story and other people's story, by pictures, by words, by objects, by whatever. So your objective is not so much, okay, we got to get through the rest of the story. You start with the Bible passage. That's the Holy Spirit prompting to say, that's where we are today. There's only about a million ways that you could focus on any Bible passage. But now the Holy Spirit's the one who's teaching you and them. You know what I'm saying. It's the same thing over and over again. So I knew a little bit what was going to happen in this room tonight. I knew a little bit. This went a lot quicker than I thought it would. But remember, you got homework. Is that right? Promise. Yeah. Promise that you'll do your homework sometime between now and the end of February. Raise your hand and say, I promise. Okay, good. Don't turn it back into me. Although my email, I think, is on the spot. Yeah. So you don't do that. But read the passage, because you'll see stuff that you've always seen before. Yeah, some of this I kind of knew what was going to happen. Some of this I had prepared. Not that this was magical, but all of a sudden that was intentional. There was a point, and I like what John said. There was a, how did you say that, brother?
An aha moment.
Yeah, you set up an aha moment, but that really wasn't me at work. So there are some things that you can do to kind of set the stage where some of this takes place, but you still can't create the movement. Sometimes you are helping people, remember.
We have a little gift for someone who helped you this evening.
Thank you
very
much. And you'll remember the session because, yes. Yeah, Frances, tell us what's going on here.
Okay.
Is that a car? Is that what
it's
you said?
No. Yes, it's a gift card.
Card, not a car.
No car. You get a $10 gift card to Cold Stone Creamery.
Oh,
so you can
thank you.
So volunteer in the next session you get to, all of them.
Thank you for your help.
Yeah, she needs that information. So, guys, thank you for being here. There's nothing new. There was nothing new during the last 5 minutes. There wasn't anything, was it?
Thank you.
I'm not sure what you're looking for. I'm not sure what you've left with, except you got some rocks now in your hand.
Rocks in our pocket.
In your pocket. Okay, now remind me for my sake. One of those rocks, what are you going
to
do with
it?
You're going to keep it. All right, that's for you. I'm not going to tell you what that means. That's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Second, what's the second rock going to be for?
Someone else.
Yeah, and you can do that between now and midnight. But that is your assignment. Do not carry around 3 rocks when you leave here. But that third rock, you can give that to anybody you want to. Who wasn't here. And you decide what that represents. Lonnie, would you lead us in prayer? We're going to leave with this in a minute. Appreciate you being here, sir.
Father, we love you. And we're here to learn more about you and praise you and honor you. So we ask you to give us wisdom, help us to see truth and then apply it to our lives. We thank you for David and his willingness to teach tonight, and I pray blessings on him, Lord. We just lift you up in precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
One thing that will help me, we're going to take a break and go to